The Tarlhurst End Podcast.
We the blog.
On thetarlhurstend.com.
Hello and welcome to the Tarlhurst End Podcast Extra in association with Get Reading on Friday, February the 27th. My name's Dan Wimbush, editor of thetarlhurstend.com, and I'm joined, as always, by Get Reading's Reading reporter, Charles Watts. Charles, how are you?
No, I'm not bad, Dan. How are you?
Yeah, not bad, mate. Four o'clock on a Friday. I don't think you can go wrong, really.
No, unless you know that you've got another few hours in the office yet, which I have. Oh. I think technically it's about sort of 12 o'clock on a Friday for me at the moment.
You're getting there, though. It's still that Friday feeling.
Yes.
Football's back around the corner, although we won't mention it was a bad midweek for you on all fronts, I think.
Yeah, no, it wasn't a good week of football.
What was worse, Arsenal's performance against Monaco or Reading's performance at Huddersfield?
I think they're both about as bad as each other. To be fair, actually, no, I think Reading probably were better than Arsenal were on Wednesday.
Okay.
I think Arsenal was an utter shambles, and Reading was actually, although it was 3-0, it was a kind of fine margins game as well. So no, I'd say Arsenal was worse.
Okay, all right. Well, we'll come on to Huddersfield in just a minute, but let's start on a positive note. Reading, last weekend, they went to Ipswich. You know, we sat down on the show last Friday, and I think we joked it's just the type of thing Reading go and do. They'll go and win at the difficult side and then lose to a lesser side, inverted commas. And sure enough, they went up to Ipswich and put in a confident performance and got a 1-0 win. Jamie Mackey with a good strike and took 3 points.
Brilliant win. Brilliant win. Just kind of... I just don't know where Reading is. It's just... It's so inconsistent, isn't it? You just don't know what side's going to turn up. And at Portman Road, the good side of Reading turned up. They went there, got themselves in front fairly early on. Decent strike by Jamie Mackey. I thought the keeper might have done better with it, but it was still a very good strike, good goal, and then they held out for the win fairly comfortably as well. Ipswich resorted to quite a few long balls to try and get themselves back in the game as it wore on, and Reading held on, picked up a deserved 3 points, and a fantastic 3 points. When you look at Ipswich's season and what they've done at home, I think they had the best home record in the whole championship before that game on Saturday, and I think only two teams have gone there and won, so it was no small achievement for Reading to go there and pick up 3 points.
No, I mean, the clean sheet as well. I said, you know, you go from conceding two at home to Leeds to keeping a clean sheet, you know, it's Ipswich, and you really can't complain. A quick question on Jamie Mackey, actually. Do you think Jamie Mackey's now first choice on the right wing?
I'm not sure. It's a strange one, the whole right wing and the Gareth McCleary situations. I'm not sure, and I haven't been told this or anything, and no one's given me an answer, but I'm not sure if Gareth's not carrying some sort of injury that they're managing. Obviously, he was out for a fair while. He came back and he started, you know, pretty much in the side under Steve Clarke. But then Steve Clarke has said that he played while injured, and at that time Clarke gave him credit for that, but it put him out for about 3 weeks. And I do wonder if he's come back, and I wonder if they're sort of managing some sort of injury that they're just trying to sort of get him through till the end of the season, perhaps. I hope not, because that's what they did last year, and he ended up having a surgery in the summer and then missed out on the whole pre-season. But I do wonder, Gareth, when you think he didn't have any sort of pre-season, he came back after his injury, immediately got injured again, and you just wonder, he's just nowhere near fit, really, when you sort of look at it like that. When you compare him to where other players who have had the whole sort of pre-season and then games under their belt, I just don't think he's fit, and I don't think we'll see the best of Gareth McCleary until next season. Sorry, that's a very convoluted way of answering your question.
That's all right,
but,
no.
But I do think that there is an underlying issue with McCleary. I'm not sure he's 100% fit. He hasn't looked the player he was last season either, although he's had a couple of flashes. So when you look at Jamie Mackey, I mean, we know what you're going to get from him, don't you? He's plays fully with his heart, and he's a decent player, and he showed up at Ipswich. He's got a goal in him as well, so it'll be interesting when they're both fit. Obviously, Jamie can't play this Saturday because he's on loan from Forest and it's part of the loan agreement, but it'll be interesting. Maybe look at Bradford, because I think we all know that he'll put out his 11. If everyone's fit, he'll put out his 11 at Bradford, and it'll be interesting to see which of the two lines up on the right-hand side.
Yeah, we spoke to a Forest fan to get a Forest view of tomorrow's game, and he described Mackey as a budget dirt cow. That was a very good comparison. I said I've got no problem with Mackey. We had a bit of a chat about him on the main podcast on Monday, and I think he's a workhorse. I'd like Reading to take at least take a run at signing him in the summer.
He's a good player. he's a good player and he's very popular around the squad, and you know, everyone likes being there. But I do think if everyone, if they're both fully fit and firing, I'd have Gareth McCleary in my team ahead of Jay Murphy every day of the week.
Yeah, unquestionably. That's just a case if he gets back to that fitness. But
yeah.
McCleary was given a chance at Huddersfield, along with six changes. And I think it's safe to say it didn't work out. Reading thumped comprehensively 3-0. Did any of the players that come into the team cover themselves in glory?
No, not really. It was a strange... It wasn't just the changes. It was more the formation that, that surprised me. I mean, McCleary basically played up front in that game alongside Yakubu. You had Jake Taylor playing on the right wing, not the left wing. You'd think if he was going to play, he'd be on the left, but he played on the right. Danny Guthrie played on the left wing. I mean, just immediately looking at that, you think that this team's not going to cause them much trouble. There's going to be no width whatsoever down the side. And there wasn't. They played into Huddersfield's hands. It was kind of... It was 3-0, but I wouldn't have said it was a drubbing. I didn't think Huddersfield were particularly brilliant or anything like that. They just scored a goal from a set piece, which was awful defending. And then in the second half, you know, Feds just dropped a clanger and it was 2-0. And then they got Reading got caught on the break for a third. So it was a bad scoreline, a bad result. But I don't think there was that much in the game. I don't think Steve Clarke helped himself, certainly not with making that amount of changes. And on top of doing that, playing a very strange formation, it was never going to be easy.
Yeah, it was like I'm sure more than a couple of our listeners would have played Football Manager in the past. It was very much like one of those games where you've got a big game coming up and you literally just throw in anybody you've got fit and slot them into any other position. It's just some weird changes. But what did he have to say about the rotation afterwards?
I mean, he was very defiant. He said he needed to do it. He felt there was a lot of players in this squad that were very close to breaking down, and he had to freshen it up. He just can't continue playing the same players week in, week out. Well, not even week in, week out, sort of twice a week, Saturday, Tuesday, which it is now for, well, we're in the middle of about a 6 or 7 week run of it. And that he sees the players in training, he gets the data, he knows which ones are on the verge of breaking down. And he obviously decided that Huddersfield was the game to make the wholesale changes. And maybe thought that looking at the team that Huddersfield were aside, he might be able to afford to do that against and still pick up a result. Obviously, it didn't work out that way. But I think we're all expecting changes. I certainly was. I, for one, did not expect to see Pavel Pogrebniak with Danny Williams playing up there because they've just been run into the ground recently and they did need a break. I think it was the number of changes to make six at once, basically your entire midfield and attack, to swap that all around. It was always going to lead to a disjointed performance, and that's what it got.
Yeah, I noticed he also said he thought the defence was a bit mentally tired.
Yeah.
Were you a bit surprised maybe not see a Travner or a Cooper, someone like that, come in?
I was. I wonder what he'll do on Saturday. Obviously, Chris Gunter's back fit now, and I remain to be convinced that Euro Travner is even a footballer, to be honest. But
I think for the organisation's price.
He's not been given a sniff yet, has he, since Steve Clark... Well, actually, I'm not going to say Steve Clark brought him in because he was already brought in before that. But since it was sort of signed and sealed, you'd think if he was up to some sort of speed that he'd have had a look in by now, but he hasn't. And so I think that's a kind of strange one. But Gunter's back fit now. When he got a player of Chris Gunter's quality available, and also when you sort of think about what that brings out of Gareth McCleary, because the two of them together down that right hand side have got a great partnership, and whenever Gunter's playing, I think you get more out of McCleary than if he's not. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him come in, maybe that, but I don't think we'll see any more changes in the back. I don't think he'll mess around with Hector and Pierce. I mean, Hector got a rest, didn't he? It was Wigan, so he had a little rest there and he missed a game, and Pierce, he's been playing, but you sort of look at Alex Pierce and think he can pretty much play in it and every game, won't he? So I'd be surprised if we do too many changes, especially given that there's been a 4-day recovery from Tuesday night now, isn't it? We're going to Saturday. So I think maybe Kelly, Gunter for Kelly, but other than that, I think we'll see the same back four.
Okay, well, we'll talk about those game against Forest and the one against Bolton a little bit later on. But let's move on to some off-the-field news, starting with some more comments from Nigel Howe. Now, we talked a little bit about this on last week's show, talking about the Zingarevic era and contracts and things. But one of the other really interesting things I thought to come out that came out on the Get Reading website over the weekend was his comments about the training ground and the proposed move to Bearwood. Fans have questioned whether this was still going ahead, but what did Nigel Howe have to say?
Well, he said it's very much still going ahead, and he even hinted that he was hoping to get some sort of movement from the council in terms of permission in the next month or so. Whether that stands to pass, we'll have to wait and see. But I think it's very important, the training ground move, because not just for the first team but for the academy. I mean, Reading are very proud of their Category 1 status, And to maintain that status, they need this training ground move. They can't continue to be at to stay at Hogwood, and they've got an audit coming up to make to keep their category one status at the moment. And I think they might just be about to sort of budge their way through that one to be even if they stay at Hogwood for the next couple of years, that they'll still be able to keep their status. But long term, they have to make the move to Bearwood. They've obviously a long way down the line in that, in terms of what they've done. I think Hal said they've already spent well into six figures on the move.
Wow.
But it's still not got planning permission. He said it was very complicated. It's been a really difficult project because of where Bearwood is. I think it's got some sort of protection or something that makes it very difficult to build on. They're slowly getting through that. The project managers have been based in the Medici Stadium. They're still there now working on it, and they're ready to go, basically. It's got to get through planning. But he certainly says that the Ties have very much committed to it, which I think that's important, because I think a lot of people were worried whether Ties going to still come in and agree to the spend, because it's going to be sort of 4 or 5 million quid, I would imagine, to do this. Obviously, they're going to get money from selling Hogwood, but it's still a big outlay. But I think for the club and the community as well as a whole, it's a very important thing to do. And he says that the Ties are very much committed to it, and hopefully things are going to start progressing very soon.
Well, it's the best way to make money in the long term, isn't it? Because, you know, spending on bricks and mortar, it's an asset, it's a long term. And more importantly, it's going to produce, hopefully, the next generation of running footballers that will come through the system. You know, we've already seen the academy producing some great players, but if they can keep that up or even get better, we could be seeing some great things. Obviously, they can compete with other Premier League clubs around the area. They won't be losing the likes of Theo Walcott to Southampton like they maybe did in the past. And, and hopefully we'll see a bright new generation. But they've also brought in somebody else to help pick up a few players from further afield. They've appointed a new head of scouting and recruitment, a guy called Tony Spearing. Charles, do you know anything about this guy? Because I have to say, his name came out of the blue for me.
I can't say I do, unfortunately. No, that's a name that's as with you, it's come out of the blue with me. It's an interesting one though. I think obviously before the Ties came in, we had Steve Head in that role, and he was made redundant. But I haven't had anyone sort of the chief or head of scouting and recruitment. But now Redden have moved to appoint someone, obviously, and I think that it must be a good sign the fact the club is actually doing that now. And they've got someone there heading the scouting team again. And you sort of look at his experience and his roles that he's had, and it's very much focused on the European market and the international market. And I think that also kind of ties in with a few things that I've been hearing and have spoken to people about, that I think Reading might well be looking quite long and hard at the European market come the summer. I think obviously this appointment to me kind of just adds to my belief that I think we could see Reading going a little bit foreign in the next few months.
Yeah, I felt really, really sorry for Steve Head. He was appointed in late 2012, and I can only presume his scouting missions went as far as whoever we were playing in the FA Cup and whoever Anton Zingarevich liked, because that was the only players that ever seemed to come in this tenure.
Yeah, so. I know that Steve was... Steve did have quite a big part to play in Danny Williams, so he certainly did leave his mark in terms of one of the players who's proved to be success. But I know that Steve definitely had a few flights over to Germany in the build-up to the Danny Williams transfer.
Yeah, well, hopefully, I mean, Tony Spearing's worked West Brom for several years, obviously worked with Steve Clark before, so hopefully that relationship can continue. Do you think this affects the Nick Hammond's role in any way?
No, I don't think so. I think, you know, Nick was obviously there anyway when Steve Head was there. I don't think he does too much in terms of the scouting. He'll go over and watch players, but you'll have people like Steve Shorey and now who will go and watch the players and then report back to Nick, and then Nick will be a person who's trying to get the deal over the line, or he will go and watch them a couple of times, I think, as well. But I don't think it'll have any part. I don't think it'll have any effect on Nick's role at the club.
Okay, fair enough. We're moving on. One other bit of news. Unfortunate news, really. The under-21s lost their bid to retain their Premier League trophy. They lost in extra time to Blackburn last night. A heartbreaking loss, really. Hit the woodwork several times and came dead close, but they just couldn't get themselves over the line.
Yeah, it wasn't to be by the sounds of it. It sounds like they dominated the game, to be fair. And I think, they hit the post three times, twice in extra time, having gone behind as well. So yeah, and I think the goals they conceded, one was a deflected header, the other was a penalty, and just like you say, wasn't a B really. But to get to the semi-final, it's a they gave their defence of the trophy a decent crack, and yeah, I thought they've done very well again. You look at Tariq Fosu, who every time I've seen Tariq play, he really does impress me, and I do wonder if he how far he could go in terms of Reading if he can make his breakthrough to the first team, because he's a talented player and he plays on that left-hand side as well, which for me Reading need to have a look at. So it'd be interesting to see if a few of these lads might make the step up next season, or certainly get closer to the first team than they are at the moment.
Yeah, and success in competitions, and obviously they won the trophy last year, semi-finals this year, they had the FA Youth Cup run last year as well, and I think they're a bit unlucky in this year's Youth Cup competition. Was it a last minute goal to Arsenal that knocked them out this year?
No, it wasn't last minute. They missed a last minute penalty
that
to equalise.
Yeah, that was the
Harry
one.
Harry Cardwell put it over. So yeah, they were very unlucky in that game by the looks of it as well. So we all know that Reading have got a very good youth setup, very good academy, and I think they've just demonstrated that again last season.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think they ended a long unbeaten run by Chelsea as well, the under-18s last weekend.
Did,
so.
Yeah,
the future very bright. Right. Talk about the future now, though. Talk about the present. Any injury updates? Obviously, we've talked a little bit about Chris Gunter. Any movement on the likes of Cem Karacan?
No, not that I'm aware of, no. I think, again, Steve Clark just said it's as you were with the injury. So, obviously, had the surprise, actually, of Danny Guthrie coming back in midweek.
Yeah, first start of the season, wasn't it?
No, he started it. First start since Huddersfield in the FA Cup, bizarrely enough.
First league start actually. Of the season, sorry.
Yes, but I wasn't expecting him to be involved at all, and to go straight into the starting lineup was a bit of a surprise. So, that, I mean, that's good news. He got minutes under his belt. Obviously, Chris Gunter was on the bench. He didn't play, but he's back fit. So, slowly getting there, but in terms of Jem and Anton... the mythical Anton Ferdinand. I think it's very much as you were.
Maybe we'll see them before the end of the season. I didn't think we'd see Mikel Leisurewood in a Reading shirt again, and he popped up and actually had a few decent games in the last season. So hopefully Anton can come in and make an impact. He's got a 2-year contract, so
yeah,
be nice to see him get some sort of momentum. Anyway, right, let's look ahead to these two games. And it starts with Nottingham Forest. Reading seem to run into Nottingham Forest at the worst times of the season. Obviously, we met them earlier this season, got well and truly stuffed 4-0 when it looked like they were going great guns under Stuart Pearce. They then basically have struggled to win a game from that point on. Sack Pearce, or Pearce leaves even, bring in Doogie Freeman, and they've not lost a game again.
Yeah, it's amazing what happens when you actually appoint a proper manager, unlike their previous incumbent, who is not my favourite person.
I was about to say, not a big fan of Psycho?
Not in the slightest. Not, well, I mean, I was as a player. I thought he was great, and very much as an England player, but awful manager. He really is. I've just never been impressed by him whatsoever. And as soon as he was appointed at Notts Forest, when we were at the Reading Post still, one of our sports reporters on the team, Lewis Rudd, is a big Forest fan, and he was overjoyed by the appointment, and I was just said straight away, mate, it will fail. He won't even last till Christmas. So I was surprised he stayed there as long as he did, but just not a good manager. So I think Forrest have certainly done the right thing, got in a new man, and look at the difference it's made. And yeah, like you say, Reading are not running into them at the best time, but that doesn't mean that Reading aren't going to win. And it's a Saturday, which is a good thing as well. Obviously, if it was Tuesday night, I'd be more concerned. But it's a Saturday. Reading have played well on Saturdays recently when they've had the extra days recovery. So, it's going to be an exciting game, I think. I'm certainly expecting a big response from Reading. I don't think we're going to see another turgid sort of mad stat display like we've seen in midweek. I think I'm hoping for more of a sort of display that we saw against Sheffield Wednesday than we saw against Wigan.
Yeah, let's be honest. Whenever we go into a game expecting nothing, we pick up a result. And every time we go into a game expecting a result, we get nothing. So that the form book will be rewritten. Obviously, Forest beat Bournemouth midweek. I think it's 16 goals in 5 games they've scored. So
amazing when you think Assumba Longa's injured during that.
Yeah.
And they're still knocking around with Dexter Blackstock and people like that up front at the moment. I think a lot of their goals are coming from midfield. I think Lansbury's got 5-5 or something like that. And Burke's chipping in from the wing. Obviously, Antonio. So they've got a lot of threats. It's going to be a difficult game for Reading, no doubt about it.
Yeah, case of the excellent Antonio. He terrorised us earlier in the season, didn't he?
And at Sheffield Wednesday last year as well. So
yeah, he's not
easy to handle.
Nailed on score. Right, let's get a prediction for that one from you then. We've already given our predictions on the Monday
what
main edition of the show. I've gone for a 3-2 Reading win. Johnny has said a 2-2 draw. Westy has gone the negative, and he has gone for a 3-1 home defeat. So someone is going to be right this week.
Right. I don't know what to go for. I haven't done my prediction on my piece I'm putting up on the website. I was just doing it before I came to make the phone call for you, so I hadn't thought about it. I will say, oh, why not? I'm going to say a Reading win. Who went for a Reading win?
That was me.
And you said 3-2.
Yeah, I said 3-2 Reading.
2-1 Reading.
2-1 Reading. All right.
2-1.
There we go.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Prediction League standings didn't really change in midweek. I think Westy gained a point, but that was about it. So I'm still ahead on that. 19, followed by Johnny on 18. You're on 12, and so is Westy now. So we'll see how that pans out. Right after that, it's a trip to the stadium formerly known as the Reebok. I think it's the Macron Stadium now.
Macron, yeah.
Yeah, up in Bolton. A ground that hasn't had that many fond memories for Reading in the past. I remember Premier League win up there, 3-1. What must have been about 7-8 years ago now. But apart from that,
God, that was a long time ago. Yeah. That was Stephen Hunt, I think.
It was.
Yeah.
And Kevin Dodd, I think we scored 3 in the last 10 minutes.
It was late on, yeah. I do remember that game. I was there for that. God, that's taking me back. Yeah. That was good. That was a good ending to that one.
Yeah, since then, I think we picked up a few draws. Obviously, drew there very early last season with a Nick Blackman penalty.
Penalty, yeah.
Yeah, but and earlier this season, Bolton came to Reading and ground out a 0-0 draw. So, I mean, what are you expecting for this one, other than the obvious obligatory Adam Lafondre goal?
It's tough, isn't it? Tuesday nights, Reading are really struggling. Tuesday nights, I think, although he says that he's not prioritising the FA Cup, it'll be very interesting to see his team selection on Tuesday night, given that Bradford's just 4 days away after that. I tell you what, I think Reading are going to lose. Oof. I know. I'm going to go for a Reading defeat. I'm going to say 2-0 Bolton.
2-0 Bolton, right? I will go for. I'll go for a 1-1 draw. Right, and I'll get the thoughts of Westy and Johnny on the main edition of the show. Not sure we're recording on Sunday or Monday yet, so stay tuned to the Twitter feed for that. But just a few things before we go. How was the web chat today? Anything of note come up?
I say it was actually quite quiet today. I think everyone was so angry after Tuesday night. There's so much disillusionment.
There's a lot of fatigue, I think.
There is. I was talking about it in the office. I think everyone's now just getting really, really fed up. I mean, thank the Lord for the FA Cup, because I think if it was just the league now and there was no FA Cup to focus on, that I think there's going to be a lot of disillusionment around for the next couple of months. And I'm certainly getting that feeling amongst certainly the internet fans, so the social media fans and people like that. You just get the impression everyone's getting very fed up with this season, just kind of wants it to end now.
Especially the relentless grind of league games as well. It's not even like you've got a full week to digest and get yourself up for the next game. It's just, boom, game comes along. And yeah, I think all eyes obviously on a week Saturday. Mm. Big day.
It is a big day. Great to see so many tickets sold as well. I think we're
nearly sold out, haven't they?
Yeah, I was surprised. I didn't think we were going to get the extra allocation. So when Ren took that and they've already pretty much gone, it's great. It should be a great day up there.
Absolutely. And that's a game we'll certainly have a few words to say on next Friday when we record the next edition of the show. But in the meantime, you can follow all of the latest from Charles over at getreading.co.uk and on Twitter @Charles_Watts. We're at the Tilehurst End and thetilehurstend.com. And of course, if you enjoy this show or the main edition of the show, or both even, subscribe on iTunes. Helps us out, bumps up the charts. And if you've got the time, leave us a review as well. Always very handy. But Charles, thanks very much for joining me as always. I hope you have a great weekend, and hopefully sit down and chat with you on Friday.
Yeah, have a good weekend.
Cheers, take care.
Get social with the boys.
Find them on Twitter
@thetilehurstend
and facebook.com/thetilehurstend.